Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Phil Lang will join us to talk about alchemy, not the Western Eurocentric alchemy that I'm used to, but instead an Asian alchemy, in particular, the Kunlun system. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Stephen, and I'm looking forward to your show.
Oh, well, thank you. Very glad to have you back. We missed you last week.
I missed you all, too, and I was thinking a lot every minute about you guys.
Yeah, sure. Well,
I didn't know I was.
We're glad to hear that. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do over at Psychic Access.
I'm an intuitive psychic empath. I also utilize the tarot cards. From where I'm standing, they're a symbolic record of human experience. There you have it.
And you're definitely one of our best tarot readers, and so we're happy to have you on board here tonight with us.
Thank you, Stephen. You're very sweet. Thank you.
Sure. Well, hello, Carmen. How are you doing this evening?
Well, hi, Stephen. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we couldn't have it any other way. We're glad that you're here, especially considering that all of Canada is an ice box now.
Well, half of it.
Half of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, 1/3 is not.
Well, hopefully you're managing to stay warm enough to do whatever it is that you do over at Psychic Access, which is?
I am a telepath, and so I live in other people's minds.
Very good. Okay. All right. And just like Maureen, you can find Carmen at PsychicAccess.com. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you.
Well, hello, Steve. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Stephen.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. What do you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer.
Ah, psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. And also, alchemy is certainly one of your interests.
Yes, very much.
Well.
Very much, because it all fits together. So you can see a person's alchemical predisposition through their natal astrology, particularly. So you can see what they're working with, the toolkit that they're working with, and you can see which tools need to be more finely sharpened, should we say, and how they can become more balanced or more whole and therefore more powerful in terms of their ability to create alchemically or to manifest, as most people say.
Ah, well, tonight's topic is Asian alchemy, specifically the Kunlun system. Have you heard about that one before?
I have actually had the great honor of taking one of Phil Lang's workshops. He's a wonderful teacher, and I did a Kunlun Neigong workshop, which I'd like to do again because it's very, very powerful. There are some amazing breathing techniques, and I know that the special breathing techniques really heighten our consciousness. So they're really helpful for many reasons, which Phil will explain, but they do bring a closer connection to spirit.
Right. And we're getting Phil on the phone here now, but he actually did, he appeared at your Rama Center to give some workshops, did he not?
Yes, he did, yeah.
I can imagine. I'm excited to hear about the Kunlun system. I've seen some miraculous results that he's gotten from it. And one thing I like about it is its simplicity. And I think that's what's really going to attract people a lot, is the simplicity of it. Have you done any energy work along these lines before? Or would this be sort of like a new area for you as well?
Well, I've practiced based upon the workshop I attended, but it's such a powerful system that you can't necessarily master it in a short period of time, even a lifetime. But it's really, I'm sure Phil will talk about creating the light body, or the rainbow body, I think it's sometimes known as. It's absolutely fascinating and extremely valuable, but it's not something that you do, you know, on day one or year one and realize your potential. It's a real opportunity, but an opportunity mm-hmm. that quite requires a lot of discipline and self-mastery.
One thing I like about it is that he specializes in transformation, that one can use this alchemy in order to transform yourself. And you know what? We actually have Phil with us now.
Great.
Phil, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. Welcome to Psychic Viewpoint. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know what? We got a lot of stuff to go over. First of all, you know, tonight's show is about alchemy and, you know, specifically Taoism and this type of alchemy. Can you define what that is for us, please?
Sure. First of all, to the average listener, I should probably say that area of study is extremely vast. And but generally, for the purposes that we'll be talking about here tonight, you could probably divide alchemy from the Taoist tradition into two camps. There were those that wanted to transform themselves into higher spiritual states with medicine, like potions and elixirs and things that they concocted. And that was a very high art that was known in China for a long time. But then that kind of puts you in a position where you need access to external substances in order to get the effects. But right. There's another branch of Taoism that was, and there's many different branches of Taoism that each specialize in different aspects. It wasn't all alchemical, but the particular tradition that I got involved in has a very ancient lineage that goes back into aspects that require a person to transform themselves from the inside out using substances that are already available within your own body, and that these could be cultivated through internal practices that a person already had within them through certain breathings and meditation practices, and sort of rebooting up these forgotten channels of energy in our psychic anatomy. They were able to allow these transformations to take place from within themselves, which is kind of nice, because then you can bring it with you wherever you go. You don't have to wonder if you're out of your area if you're going to get access to the medicines that other alchemists would have to do. But probably at this point it would be most simple to give a general description of what alchemy is, because there's many different forms, and different traditions don't always agree. But in terms of spiritual progress and pathwork like that we're going to talk about tonight, I think that it's important to emphasize that alchemy is the, how should I say, it's the art of imitating and accelerating nature. It's a natural art and science. And in alchemy, a person really doesn't end up making anything. All an alchemist would do, or in this case, the spiritual aspirant that is accessing these means from within themselves, is what we do is we provide a condition for nature to do what nature does, and what nature has always done. And so the end result of this, what some would call the philosopher's stone, if you're into the laboratory alchemists, or in our case, getting the ultimate attainment, which would be self-realization or awakening. It's not really made by us, the alchemists. It's made by nature. All we do is provide the conditions within ourselves so that nature can operate effectively and without being disturbed. And so in this case, you allow nature to do what nature already does and only knows how to do. But through these practices, you get your mind out of the way and allow your access to that one law of nature to start coursing through you, and the rest just sort of takes place all by itself. So when nature has finished doing what it does all day long, what it's doing is it's constantly evolving itself. It's constantly transforming from one form into another, and that's what spiritual development is. You no longer become the person you used to be. You have literally transformed yourself from the inside out, from a subatomic level outward into the physical, and even beyond that, into something entirely new. And that's alchemy. So alchemy, therefore, is the art of the microcosm and the acceleration of nature through the microcosm, that microcosm being our body and our mind and our spirit. And so in this practice that we're going to talk about tonight, which we call the Kunlun system, that substance that we begin with is our body, mind, and spirit. And what we do is we begin to purify that body and that mind and that spirit until we realize our divine self. It's already there. We're the alchemical Taoists of this tradition already knew that humanity was awakened. We just forgot because we've clouded our vision of ourselves and our light with so many false beliefs and traumas and buying into the illusion that we call the world as being real, that we can't see our own light anymore. Well, these practices that are part of this system, which are very simple to do, what they do is they strip away what is no longer needed, no longer necessary. And as you began to do that, you began to see more and more of your true essence, which is the end result of alchemy. You purify and distill yourself through these practices until there's nothing left but your pure essence. And that essence is divine. And then you realize that you're not a human being in a flesh and bone body anymore. You're much more than that. We're only... we see in the mirror what 1% of what we are. And so in this case, internal alchemy is that branch of Taoism that uses the observation of nature and then allows nature to run its course through us by getting out of our way, getting our ego out of the way, and accessing it through certain practices that we introduce in the work.
Well, let me ask this about the Kunlun system. Where is it from, and how did it get here? And by here, I mean to the West.
Sure. Well, first of all, we're calling it tonight the Kunlun system because that's the name given it, because we have to call it something. These practices are very old, and it may historically were practiced very secretly within mainly two different temples or branches of Taoism, one being what they called the Kunlun branch and another the Maoshan. And those are some of the more secretive and esoteric of the Taoist areas of philosophy and spiritual practice. And their work wasn't really written down. It was an oral tradition. So if you try and find studies about it or manuscripts and that sort of thing, they don't exist. It was so simple but so powerful that in some cases wars were even fought over its secrets. To get them was to get the highest attainment. And so they were safeguarded like many of the mystery schools. And what my teacher did, and his name is Max Christensen, and he's generally considered the main proponent and bringer of this system out of China to the West, he was able to solidify and recodify a lot of the most powerful practices for the Westerner so that the average person could attain these states without having to spend 40, 50, 60 years doing traditional meditations, because we don't have that time now. The planet doesn't have that time. We don't have that time. So he had to call it something, and he wanted it to be symbolic of the path and as well as pay homage to all of his teachers. And so he called it the Kunlun system, which is named after the Kunlun mountain range, which was on the northern border of Tibet and western China. China now took over Tibet, but it's the Taoist version of Shambhala. If you know about the legend of Shambhala, you know that the Kunlun Mountains are always close at hand when you start talking about that mystical place, because many people believe it was in or around the Kunlun Mountains, which are still today very remote. But many of his teachers came from there, and the Kunlun Mountains are synonymous with immortality. And what this is, literally, is an immortality practice. When you apply it in a certain way and with enough diligence, you can actually reverse what we would call aging, and you can regenerate yourself from the inside out, because you're tapping into an inexhaustible source of energy from within yourself, as opposed to trying to pull it in from outside yourself. So the Kunlun name is based on the mountain range, and it is the home of the immortals that are still supposed to live there today, in the physical. And it's also a way of representing the ultimate in the path. The top of the mountain is the crown. It's the end result of one's alchemical transformation. And you wanted to pay homage to all his teachers without singling one out and ignoring the rest. So we call it the Kunlun system because it is a system of practices. And he was allowed to bring it out of China, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago. I'm sure other adepts had secretly come here, but they didn't really spread it. It's a tradition that's kept to itself for various reasons. It's very traditional. But every 100 years, according to Max, they allowed 4 people to leave the temple and teach what they knew worldwide to those that were willing to learn if they were sincere. And of those 4 people, 3 of them no longer teach. They don't want to, or they decided to leave. And Max is the one who brought it out. He was able to teach some of us to spread these practices because they're very simple to learn. It's another thing to master them, but they're very simple to learn. And a 4-year-old could do them. And I'd say it's been here maybe 15 years on a small level. And today, Max has probably trained about 100 of us around the world to give the beginning levels of this system.
Well, that brings me to my next question here, because we speak of Kunlun now as a practice, and yet often we refer to it, or I've seen it referred to as an internal alchemy. And I was wondering, I was hoping maybe you could elaborate on that term a little bit, or maybe how Kunlun is an internal alchemy.
Sure. If you think of an alchemist, you know, the mad scientist, we think of the alchemists as the medieval old men in their laboratories in Europe transforming base metal into gold. And we think, well, they're just after a free lunch, let's make some gold and be rich. But it was a lot more than that. And what they were actually doing was they were studying the way in which matter or the elements change from one state into another. And if you were to start off with a junk piece of metal, like, say, lead, and you were able to transform it into the highest vibrational metal that the mystical traditions hold to be true, which is gold, that would be the ultimate attainment in that type of alchemy. But in watching how a substance transforms from a lower state to a higher state, a more refined state, a higher vibrational state, is exactly the same transformation that happens within the human physical body and in human consciousness when they are attempting to do their own spiritual practices. You start off as a body of flesh and bone that you think reality is your 3D world, and you're subject to the laws of chemistry and physics and gravity and mind. But when you start doing these practices, which you cultivate from within yourself, not without, you slowly start to change over. You elementally change at the most profound and deepest level into a higher vibrational state. So you transform yourself from the body of lead, so to speak, into the body of gold. And that follows an alchemical pattern that is the same, whether you're a human or whether you're watching how nature transforms one substance into another. That happens all the time in nature. And the alchemists simply observed nature and then provided the conditions to make that happen. It's internal because we aren't looking outside ourselves for the power in which to do that. The early internal Taoists, internal alchemy Taoists of this order that became the Kunlun system, they were smart. They realized the outer world is an illusion. We hear the Hindus talk about Maya, and we hear that the world is an illusion, but what does that mean? Well, it just means that it's not what you think it is. It's a projection. And so in many of the energy cultivation systems, people are pulling in energy from the world, from the power of the sun, the power of the moon, the earth, the wind, the 5 elements. And you take this incredible power and you bring it into yourself. And it makes your body really strong, really healthy. You can do incredible things. But it wasn't necessarily designed to give you awakening. You are looking outside of yourself and pulling in the power of nature and bring it into your body. But the internal alchemists of this lineage said, wait a minute, the outer world of form is an illusion. It doesn't exist. It's just a projection of my subconscious mind. The universe outside me is a reflection of the universe inside me. And that power is what we would call the Tao, or God, or the one law that runs through all things. Others might call it scalar energy, or the energy of the vacuum, or unconditional love. But it's that one force that permeates all things that are. And it's found within the human body in particular places that you can access. And in this tradition, we don't use chakras. That's a Hindu concept. We use energy centers in the body that we call the dantian. And you have one in your belly, one in your heart, one in your head, that area. And the heart in particular is where we make the alchemy happen, because you have to balance all ingredients in order to make these transformations occur, whether you're working in a lab or working in your own body. But the internal alchemy Taoists of this lineage, which, as I said, mainly come from the Mao Shan and Kunlun branch of Taoism, they said, wait a minute, the source is within that power. So why not access that and emanate it outward from myself, rather than look outwards to the illusion that I know is illusory and pulling in energy from the illusion? This way, they became independent of any outside forces. They learned to be their own master, their own beginning, their own end, and look inside themselves for that inexhaustible source, that inexhaustible power. And there's certain ways that you can access it in these practices that we introduce in the workshop. And when it happens, you'll know it.
Well, we'll definitely get to that in a bit. But first, I wonder if we could talk a bit about two, I guess, we would call them forces, the Qigong and the Neigong. Forgive me if I mispronounce those, but what are those two forces, and are they fundamental to using the Kunlun or participating in the Kunlun system?
Well, Qigong sort of means energy cultivation, and Neigong means inner cultivation. I kind of touched on it a moment ago, but a lot of Qigong practices, you're pulling in the forces of nature and bringing it inside yourself. And it's really good for martial arts. It allows you to take incredible blows and go through a lot of rigorous things, and your body can withstand it because you make it so strong. But in Neigong, they weren't looking outside themselves to do that. They were looking inside themselves. And their purposes were for spiritual transformation, not for energy cultivation and martial arts training and that sort of thing. It was entirely an inner process, and its purposes were to transcend duality and perceive the reality as it actually is, which is based on unity consciousness, not polarity. So that kind of required a person to step out of the martial arts mindset, because in martial arts, you're always training against an imaginary enemy. That's you versus an imaginary someone else. That's two-ness. That's duality. And you kind of have to give that up if you're going to start looking at the world as a unified whole. And so Neigong kind of has a spiritual application to it for the purpose of self-awakening. Qigong are a lot of practices that can bring on health. And like I said, martial arts training is good for that. It can reverse a lot of health conditions, but so can Neigong as well. It's just two different methods, but one is accessing the power within, okay, the infinite power within.
Which of these two forces do you focus on in your workshops, for example, and will the typical Kunlun aspirant be working with?
Well, we focus on the heart, and we draw out through particular ways energy that is accessed right from the void. And Qigong isn't a force, Neigong isn't a force. These are Chinese words that have to do with practices, types of practices, or types of cultivation of energy. And so in the class, what we're doing is we might use what in other systems might be Qigong practices, but we're internal cultivators. We have little changes to it that might appear subtle, but they make all the difference in the world. And what that does is it transforms it from an outer practice into an inner practice. And by putting our attention in certain places, well, that's where energy goes. Or in this case, it draws it out from our heart. And that heart is the portal to that one law, to that divine essence that permeates all things. So we really emphasize accessing certain parts of the body that are already hardwired to allow this to occur.
Well, that actually brings me to another consideration. I mean, what makes the Kundalini system different from all the other different types of systems of awakening, A? And then B, can I discipline myself and practice this system and still practice my yoga or trying to awaken my Kundalini or my astral projection or what have you?
Sure. Well, it's the Kundalini system is considered a fairly rapid path relative to others. And that's one thing that makes it different compared to many traditional systems of awakening. Another reason that it's different in a huge way is that if you look at most of the different approaches to true awakening, the actual authentic paths, you're going to see that they utilize some form of fire, of what they call Kundalini. And that's a force that they say lies dormant at the base of the spine. And if you've ever had the Kundalini awakening, you know what I mean, because that's where it starts. And just like a flame, it rises. Hot air rises. Flame rises. And you'll feel it go up your spine. And it's considered hot. It's generally accessed in very forceful ways and techniques that make it happen, which is no problem if you're working under a master and who can watch and see if you're ready for certain powerful forms of energy. But it's considered hot. And a lot of the awakenings that happen that are taught in the world, not just in Asia but elsewhere, depend on that awakening up the spine. So it's very yang. It's very male. It's very hot. But there's another way. An opposite way that starts at the top and flows downward like water. What does water do? It's cool. It's yielding. It's soft. It flows downward. And it's a more gentler path. But if you read the Tao Te Ching, you'll see what Lao Tzu has to say about water. It's ultimately more powerful. And so this is a gentle system that requires allowance for your awakening to occur and non-doing, as opposed to actions and doings that make it happen and cause that awakening to happen from the base of the spine upwards. So we call this a water path. And for that reason, when you do these practices, your body begins to sort of form and mold itself to working with the system that you're working on. And the more you do it, the more efficient that process becomes, because the body learns what it's supposed to be doing, and your consciousness learns what it's supposed to be doing. But if you were to confuse it by adding in another powerful energy system that is of an opposite element, say fire versus water, you're just going to confuse your whole practice and your body. You'll make you'll compromise both, and you could end up with a third result by combining the two that may not be energetically pleasant, because when that does happen, even according to Chinese medicine, there's no known cure. So Kundalini is fine for a practitioner that is on that path, and but they shouldn't mix it with a water path like this Kundalini system. It's an entirely different approach, and your body will accommodate whichever practice that you're working on. If you're going to do it, and a person's on the fence, like, which one should I do? Give 3 months to one practice and practice it solely, nothing else. And then switch over to the other practice and don't combine the two, and give that one, say, 90 days and see how you feel. Not every one path is good for every single person. Everyone has their different needs. But after giving that equal way, a person will know which system is more compatible with their system. Other forms of powerful breath work that raise a lot of fire and heat in the body, or the Bikram yoga, where you practice in hot temperatures. These generally aren't a good idea. Most forms of Qigong are okay. Kriya yoga is okay. Some of the gentler forms of like Tantra Kundalini, they're okay. But you generally want to separate those out by by at least a day or two, so that you do not, you don't interfere with the practices that you're trying to do with your Kunlun system. If people really knew how powerful the Kunlun system was and how comprehensive it was as a full path of awakening, they wouldn't feel the need to keep looking around for different paths. But I understand, in the West, we're being constantly revealed new paths that we didn't know existed, and it's fascinating. I like to learn new things, but after a while, you become a jack of all trades and a master of none. And after several years of workshops and trainings, when have you found time to actually just master one the right way? And for me, the older I get, I've narrowed down what I do to the most distilled, powerful thing that I can do that gives me the greatest benefit. And that's exactly why Max Christensen put together the method in this way, because we don't have the time. And if you can just learn to get your mind out of the way, this unfoldment can happen really quick, because it's a human birthright, and it has more to do with your attitude of practice than it does about any knowledge base that you have about awakening or metaphysics.
Is this why you would consider the Kunlun system a quick path? Because things speed up once I get my mind out of the way. Why is it considered a quick path in comparison to other systems?
Well, we're talking relatively speaking. Most of us have been incarnating on this planet for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So that's what I would call a long path. But what if certain things could be shown to you that made your efforts more efficient, and those ways were done by non-doingness as opposed to doingness, and not trying, but being or not being? That might accelerate things. And if it were possible for a person to achieve the highest attainment of this practice in one lifetime, relative to other practices out there, that would be a quick path. And that has been done. It's therefore, if you're an impatient person, it may not seem that quick, because the first thing that the Kunlun system works on when you're practicing is not the physical body. It has really nothing to do with the physical body, but because the physical body is an expression of the non-physical bodies, which it works on first, it eventually is going to reflect on the outer, which you've been working on the inner. And so a lot of people get fooled with the simplicity of this practice, thinking nothing's happening, but nothing could be further from the case. I fell into that trap. I began to practice this in 2008, and nothing happened. Didn't feel a thing. And I got frustrated, and I quit. And then I met Max. And in working with me, he could see my frustration. And one of the things he told me was, you can't see inside you, but I can see inside you. You think nothing's happening, but there's a world of changes happening within you, and you're almost there. Just go home and practice. Now, I broke every rule in practice, because I'm a mental person. I'm a guy, I think, I'm in my left brain, I like facts, I like information. And here I am in a very feminine kind of yin allowance path that forces me not to use my mind. Well, that kind of drove me crazy. So I went right into my habit mode, and I started looking for things. I started expecting things and assuming that it would look like this or look like that. And all that did was push the real thing further from me. It's when I finally gave up. And I mean, I gave up. I sat down for the 1,000,000th time to do my practices. And I was just empty. It's like, oh, here we go again. Let's do my practices. And all of a sudden, I started a process of what we call purification. And that is one of the hallmarks of this system, because when you access the power of the divine and you don't try and stop it with your mind by analyzing it and allow it to run its course through its natural means, because that's what an internal alchemist does, right? We provide the platform and the conditions for nature to do what nature does, which is to evolve and transform. You'll start to have anything that doesn't serve you start to get thrown out of your system. Mental garbage, emotional garbage, cellular trauma, your karmas, whatever you want to call the denser parts of your being that are lodged somewhere in your multidimensional self. this energy of the one, of the oneness, of the Tao, when it's coursing through you, it starts a sort of a cascading effect that all you have to do is stand out of your way. And you'll begin to change. What does that look like? Well, it depends. Everyone's different. And what brought them to the spiritual path is a unique story. And so this unfolding kind of happens different for each person. But a lot of people get very hot. They get cold. They might laugh. They might cry. And all these things are your body's wisdom balancing out things that it's been suppressing its whole life. And it's time to get it out. And you feel like $1 million afterwards. But in order to do it, you have to get your mind out of the way and just be and just allow. And for that reason, women really like the Kundalini system because they're already hardwired to be yielding and surrendering. They don't need logic and facts. They just want to feel. And this whole practice is based on feeling and no mind. If you try and analyze it, you're just going to hold your evolvement back further. So it really forces you to develop both sides of your brain and merge the polar opposites that are the human being, your male and female, your yin and yang, your mind and heart, back together in a type of balance, because it's only when those forces are balanced that you can transcend this world and transcend yourself. That's what an alchemist is trying to do, is balance a number of different aspects in the ingredients in such a way that it allows transformation to occur automatically, so you don't have to think about it. I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of started going off there.
Absolutely. Well, in fact, your answer sort of led me into my next question, because obviously being able to unite polarities into a functional whole has to carry with it a lot of different advantages and benefits. You know, so what can you tell me of some of the benefits that might happen from practicing the system?
Well, what's a benefit to one person might not be of interest to another. The traditions of the East minutely classified every level of spiritual development, I mean, down to the nth degree. And so they've classified different forms of awakening, spiritual awakening. And in the West, we still are kind of learning that. We as a culture aren't 5,000 years old like the Chinese. And so some people, their form of awakening is just to get healthy. Others, it's to attain the ultimate. They want to go home. They want to go home to God. Others want to have more peace in their life, or they want to feel more grounded. This is a great practice, by the way, since this is Psychic Access Talk Radio. This is a great practice for clairvoyance and people with psychic gifts that are on more the extreme side that actually have reputations, because they use a tremendous amount of chi. But a lot of times they're not grounded. After their work is done, their spiritual work with clients and whatever, they're shot. They're depleted. And they're often not grounded in their everyday life because they're so out the crown. They're off in the astral all the time. Well, you can't get awakening that way. You might be blissed out a lot of the time, but if you're going to grow your branches to the sky, you've got to develop strong roots, or you'll topple over. So we emphasize a lot of grounding here. And that really helps put people back in their body. They sleep better. They can manage their worldly affairs a lot better, because at some point you have to come back to Earth. So to such a person like that, that's a benefit, being grounded, being in your body, being able to feel your body, being able to sleep better at night, and being able to increase your light so much that the little meanies that come and visit you at night can't get near you. So a lot of sensitive people, they don't know how to control their own energy. Well, they just haven't been taught, and this practice will do that. So that's a benefit. But, and I'm not a doctor here, so I can't make claims, but anecdotally, we see reversals of various conditions that are entirely preventable. But when you start learning how to bring in more life force into your body and hold it there through a very simple way that we teach, it begins to accumulate in you. So you can reverse certain conditions. You can regenerate your glands to such an extent that gray hair turns dark again, to such an extent that I have to tell women in their late 40s and early 50s, if you really get on this path, I have to tell you, you might start ovulating again. If you don't want kids, be aware. How come that happens? Because what we're doing is we're tapping in through certain portals, certain access points within us, divine energy, and we bring it forth through our practices. And that high-frequency power, what it does, one of the first things it does is it regenerates the glands and the hormones and all of that. It brings them back into balance. So people who start getting weak in energy, aging, and that sort of thing, you're starting to reverse that, because now you're infusing those glands, which are getting old and tired, with life force, and they begin to rebound. They begin to bring hormone levels up, and not only up, but in balance. Everything in an alchemist way is about balance. And so the way we approach the practices is when we work on the different centers in the body, and the body, mind, and spirit, they have to be in balance. And so that's another benefit of practice. In fact, if you were raised in this from birth, Max had some pretty amazing stories about the lifespans of some of the people he worked with that are almost at the edge of belief. But it's because these systems constantly regenerate yourself, and so you don't go through the normal breakdown of entropy of systems like we see in chemical reactions. You are tapping into an inexhaustible source, and if you want to stay around for a couple hundred years, that's why they call this an immortality practice. This is why it comes from the Kunlun Mountains, because that is the mountains of the immortals. And on a more physical level, you can lower blood pressure. You'll be more serene in your mind. You'll have stronger energy flow, more efficient bodily processes. You'll have less negativity, more smiles, less stress, greater joy. For some people, that's the awakening that they want. But for others, they want to go as high as possible. They want to obtain the ultimate birthright that is ours as human beings to know. And that would require continuing to practice and letting go of your garbage, your mental junk, because those things are impure. And this system of practices that we teach, that boots them out of you. And the more you do that, the more you are going to find that you are not a physical dense being. You are nothing but pure light and information. And once you really understand that, you're finished here. You don't really need to do the earth lessons anymore, because you just figured out the game of life. And at that point, unless you want to stay and serve others from your compassion, you could choose to move on at a time chosen by you to higher levels of experience. And so to some, that's a benefit. Between that point and starting off on the path, yeah, you'll have more energy. You're going to feel very light, very brisk, and it's gentle, because you decide what you want out of the practice. You decide when you want to practice and for how long. And because we teach several different methods in the workshop, if you just want grounding, well, then do those. If you want to wake up dormant capacities in your brain, which are yours to do and cultivate if you want, we can do that. If you want to attain what they call the state of the gold dragon body, if you're a man, or gold phoenix body, if you're a woman, this is where you consciously transform into light. It's your light body. We don't have a word for it in the West, so we call it the light body. But the Taoists called it the gold dragon body, or the indestructible diamond body. And the Tibetans called it the rainbow body. So different cultures through different times have different names for it. The body of Ra, the Merkaba, lots of different names. But it's a way of when you realize that your mind simply is projecting the entire world that you see, because that's its job, to interpret what it believes to be true, and you start having inner experiences that show you the true nature of reality, well, your brain's going to catch up. It's going to say, oh, okay, I understand now through these practices what's really real. And it starts interpreting your life through a different kind of lens. And you realize that life is not what you thought, and it's a whole lot more. And that's kind of what Wayne Dyer meant when he said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Well, that's true. That's true. And so those are some of the benefits that come. But in the beginning, you're going to process a lot of garbage that you don't want. The monkey that's been on your back your whole life, all of your wounds and issues, the dreadful things that were done to you, the things you did to others. You know, one of the challenges that we have in life is you have to live and love yourself no matter what. And these practices will allow you to do that, but it doesn't mean you have to keep suffering. How does it look when it leaves your body? Well, you may shake. Shaking, animals do that. When they go through a trauma, what do they do? They go off and shake, and then they're okay. Well, that's a wise thing to do. Nature knows what to do. When we allow that to happen in us, you're actually shaking off discordant energies, disharmonic energies. And once they're gone forever. And eventually you keep doing these practices, those kinds of phenomena of getting really hot, getting really cold, some of the stranger things that can manifest during practice time, they'll stop. Now what happens is waves and waves of more and more happiness, which is really beyond happiness. They call it bliss and ecstasy. And once you've had that experience, you'll see that it can be an incapacitatingly beautiful kind of bliss, to the point where you don't want to become a bliss junkie. You have to still walk with your feet on the earth and come back down. And so we talk about that in the workshop and give practices that keep you grounded. But those are just some of the results of the practice, because that might be their goal. It may be all that they want. But the highest goal of the practice is self-awakening, direct knowing of one's true self.
Well, in the workshops, you've noticed some rather dramatic effects, and aside from some of the effects of practicing that you've just mentioned, would you like to comment or share some of your experiences that you had, for example, at the Rama Center with Steve or in other of your workshops?
I can give a general kind of description only because if I give too much, people will start to have an expectation as to what it will be like for them, and mm-hmm. I'd be doing them a disservice. Mm-hmm. I will say this, though. One of the things that the modern era of spiritual awakening doesn't like to talk a lot about is that, you know, your spiritual unfoldment isn't always la-la happiness. And a lot of people that preach that, they're not grounded themselves. They're always out in the astral. They're not grounded. And sometimes that means you've got to face your own music, your own shadow side. And I had something really good I wanted to say, Stephen. What was it? Oh, effects of students, right. Okay, I had lots of speaking going on in my head. All right, I'm back on track. So in the class, what happens is we teach several practices, but some are more, how shall I say, effective at doing things than others. And when you begin to purify yourself, this is what the Taoists call it, when you get rid of what's not needed, you're cleaning up your system of unneeded energies that aren't helpful to your awakening. Well, how does it look when it leaves your system? Some people are going to cry, because they held back tears their whole life that they weren't allowed to shed. Other people are going to laugh because they held back laughing because it wasn't safe or whatever. They may get really hot, which is normal because your body's going to start throwing off physical toxins by the psychic heat generated in this practice. It wakes up all the nadis, wakes up all the chakras. It's infused with energy that courses through your nervous system, and it's going to open up all of your acupuncture meridians. It's going to open up your blood. Life force is going to flow through there, and if you've got toxins in there, it's going to come out. So heat is one of those things that can happen. Shaking, trembling in the legs, that's really common. That kind of shows you where your pineal and pituitary gland are at, by the way. And you may even speak in tongues. You may see inner lights. You may see manifestations, have visitations. But I don't really like to emphasize those things because it's not the purpose of the practice.
Right.
Those things are side effects. If I tell people that, they'll either sign up in droves because they want to experience that, or they'll run away in packs because they're scared of their own awakening. But any legitimate path is eventually going to make you come out of la-la land and bliss, and deal with some of the stuff about yourself that you've never wanted to admit before. Any decent spiritual path that's real is eventually going to have you confront that part of yourself that you're ashamed about, fearful about, that you don't want to look at. And that's a good thing, because if you can be courageous and just face it, well, we talk about that in the class too. We show you how to transmute it from a fear, and poof, it's gone, and it's gone for good. And if you keep it up long enough, you're going to know yourself as a divine being. A person may they may find themselves, well, there's all kinds of phenomena that can happen. But when it happens, it's because the wisdom of the heart has taken over, and the adept is not getting in his own way, and it allows nature to take its course through you. And you'll come back to normal when you've balanced everything out. And that's kind of surprising for people, because most people don't really know when they meditate or do a spiritual practice if it's really doing them any benefit at all. Well, I kind of wanted proof. I wanted to know if I was going to invest time in waking up and getting spiritual and all the rest of it. I wanted to know that the practices I was doing actually were paying dividends. And in a very dramatic way, when you're working with these ancient practices of the Kunlun system, you get to see, sometimes very dramatically, every time you sit down and move energy inside your body in a certain way, that it's actually paying off, and that you are lighter for that experience, you've got less density around you, and you've actually come to earth and started doing your path work by getting rid of what no longer needs you. I wanted that. And every time I do my practice, I get that proof. And that makes me feel good that my spiritual practice is actually paying dividends.
Well, Phil, we've come to the final 5 minutes of our show here. I want to remind everybody that you can actually find Phil at formlessandtrue.com. I highly recommend you go visit his website, learn about the Kunlun system, learn about what Philip Lang is doing. I can definitely vouch for Philip. He is right on the real deal. And my problem is that I live in a rural area, Phil. What do I have to do in order to get you to come out to, you know, Bohunk and the boondocks?
Well, it's true. You'd think with 100 teachers, we call ourselves apprentices all over the world, that you know, there's something happening in your neighborhood. It's not always the case, but I do get asked a lot from people that feel the call. I do travel. Some of my colleagues, they do not. But I do travel. I've done the workshop in other countries, and I'll go with whatever there's interest, because I just want to help people. So if they can't travel, and I do have a workshop coming up in the West Coast in Arcata, right in the heart of Redwood Country, at the beginning of March. And I've got one towards the East Coast in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is, I don't know, it's probably, what, an eight-hour drive for you? That's happening at the end of March. And if that's too far for people, they can just call me and say, I'd like to get a group together. Would you come out? And the answer will be yes.
Ah, so I can get to some of my friends, my club, my sewing group, my cooking club, or whatever, get some people together. We all chip in, whatnot, and bring you out to our area, and you'll conduct the workshop there for us.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it there's more interest than the cost of a plane ticket to make it worthwhile, sure. I've had groups up to 30 people, and it's always fun to have that many people doing this work at the same time, because the energy gets pretty high. It's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. But if anyone has questions, my contact info is on the website, Formless and True, and I'd be more than happy to talk with them.
Well, you've got two big events coming up in the beginning and the end of March. One of those, I believe, is Kunlun system, and another one is also Theta Healing. You also are involved in Theta Healing. Can you briefly give us some information about that workshop as well?
Well, a lot of the things we talked about tonight, they're applicable in other areas. Not everyone feels the draw towards Eastern-type things, but Kunlun is just nature's way of life, and everyone's a part of nature. But Theta Healing is a way of calling on the divine to do healings on self or others. And It's a very interesting and very common workshop. I found that it cuts through all the dogma, just like the Kunlun system does, and it really promotes spiritual sovereignty, because when you realize that you can call on the divine and incur change in the physical, whether it's in the form of healing or manifesting some other desired result, and you can do so from a singular, unified heart space, which is what we do in the Theta Healing Workshop, then that's a good thing. And we are going to teach it in Knoxville, a basic level class and an advanced level class. There's more information on my website about that. But if you're interested in healing yourself or healing others or healing your world, Theta Healing is a very approachable way for the average person to realize that it is also their divine birthright to know that they are much more able to do these things. It's not the realm of the mystics and the saints anymore, because we are saints in the making. We're bodhisattvas in the making. It's just that no one told us that we could do these things, and we can.
Awesome. Well, Phil, I can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. It has been educational. It's been illuminating, and I strongly encourage everyone to visit formlessandtrue.com, read up about the Kunlun system. You can find a lot more there. You can learn a lot more about Phil, and Phil, really, thanks a lot for coming here tonight and enlightening us. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And I should add, too, that there's a book out now on the Kunlun system by Max Christensen, and they can order that at primordialalchemist.com. You can order it through there or through Amazon. But if they're really intrigued with what they heard tonight, that is a very good book to have. And other than that, they're free to call me. And I thank you for having me on the show. It was fun. It's good to be back. It's been a while.
All right, guys, you heard it. PrimordialAlchemy.com. You can pick up Max Christensen's book on Kunlun system. FormlessandTrue.com. You can learn more about Philip Lang. Thank you very much, Philip. And we'll see you next time, my friend.
All righty. You take care.
You too, my friend. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I'd like to take a few moments here to make some announcements. I'd like you to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch last week's show on the ancient Egyptian god Thoth and what he means to modern metaphysics, then you're in luck, because you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Feel free to circulate those archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible, so share that link with others. Also, please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com. Learn about everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to choosing the best psychic advisor for you. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we all hope sincerely that you do, we work very hard to make sure that you do, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, in a few minutes, I'm going to give the call-in number for readings for the second hour of the show. The first hour has concluded, but we have an entire other hour where we will give live readings after we hear my co-host's opinion about what they've just listened to. Maureen, I'd like to start with you. What are your opinions about the interview?
I have no opinion. No.
I knew you were going to say.
I'll tell you something. He's been on, you know, he's been a guest a couple times. He's fantastic. And very, I can recall, because he's fantastic in the idea that he really, it's not like he's, you know, knows everything, whatever, but whatever. Every topic he's talked about, including tonight, he's right there. He's in it. You know, he's right there in it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's it's fantastic because, and I like the, so it's not so much, and it's, and you know, I'll tell you, sometimes I had a hard, I have a hard time processing.
processing. It
was a lot. You know, I do have a hard time processing some things that I put too much thought into, but really what he's about, even though there's a technique in on things that he was talking about, and I always laugh when I say it, so I'm not going to, but it's a Kundalini.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
you know, I'm sorry.
It sounds funny, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds sexual. But
it does sound kind of dirty.
It is, isn't it? But, you know, yeah. Really when I was listening to him, he was also speaking about, in a lot of different ways, I mean, whether it's, you know, whatever, you know, he's talking about what he does or teaches or, you know, offers to people to really, you know, get more in touch with themselves and, you know, transcend, transform. He's talking about transforming. And the connection, that's from where I was sitting in or standing. Am I wrong about that?
No, no. You're absolutely not.
Yeah, so it reminded me, so even though, you know, there were certain things, you know, he does, but, you know, I did go to Utah I just got back from Salt Lake City, and there was, I did go to, my sister took me to, it was wonderful, it was at the the Young Society at the University of Utah, and I went and saw, and it was kind of like what he was saying, the feeling I got, and I went and saw this poetry on Rumi, is R-U- Am I Rumi? Have you ever heard of him? He's a 13th century poet.
I have.
Okay. And these people, so I went, it was, and I was so just into it. I mean, it's not like I was, and what they did, there's two different men. They're very well known. One is Coleman Barks and David Darling. But it wasn't like the teachings of what, it's just almost like what the guest was saying tonight. There was something very special about it. And I was like sitting there, and one is he played the cello. The other one spoke. It was fascinating. Did the poetry. It was unbelievable. It was like, oh, my gosh. It was in a beautiful theater area there. And it was like my body, I felt like I was transforming. It was fantastic. It was just, I was just right there. So when I was listening to your guest, I was feeling really in, I just loved it, you know, that he was right in there in the moment. But, yeah, that's all I have to say.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, literature, poetry, music, the finer things in life, they definitely have. One of the reasons they are the finer things in life is because they lift us up to that sort of exalted spiritual level. They make it, you know, like a stepping stone, make it a little bit easier.
Let yourself go. Yeah, if you let yourself go. It's exactly right. And sometimes that's very difficult to come into. And your guest was talking about that. It's like, come on, you know, it's really.
Well, another thing you hit dead on the head is that Phil Lang is definitely very serious about this. He is serious about what he does. You know, now none of us would bring on a guest that we didn't have the, you know, complete faith in. I have faith in Phil and what Phil is doing over there at formlessandtrue.com. I'm a believer, you see.
Oh, I know. He's in his work. He's definitely in his work, and that's all good, you know.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to a lot of these Eastern esoteric traditions, I've seen a lot more of psychic phenomenon than I have sometimes in the Western traditions, you know.
Yeah.
Like this one kid, Ram Banjan, when he was a boy, meditated for 6 months and went without eating anything or drinking anything. Yeah. A documentary crew filmed him nonstop up and beyond the point where he would have died. And still the boy did not move an inch, did not eat or drink anything.
Absolutely. Yes. That's a very good, I like how you, that's right. And it goes beyond, amazing. It goes beyond what our capabilities and what space we can go. Well, you know,
It's almost becoming common nowadays. Modern, like scientists in clinics in India or in Nepal and places like that are beginning to study these amazing people. And who
Yeah, well, that's what my daughter's doing. It all comes back to that. She's, you know, neuroscience, but she's bringing science with the meditation.
That girl's going to figure out how to make us all live forever, isn't she?
We're all in the new world. But But people like your guests and things of all that stuff, it just adds to it. Everybody in the chat room was really enjoying this interview, by the way, Steve.
Oh, good, good. I'm really hoping that, you know, people can take away something useful here. And, you know, that's one reason why I couldn't wait to poll you guys and get your opinions on it. So I really appreciate your input there, Maureen. A lot of good stuff there. Now, Carmen, what did you think about tonight's talk and our guest?
Well, thank you for asking. All the way through, we were discussing metals and properties. So we were kind of in that headspace, yeah. Because trying to figure out poles, magnetic poles, positive and negative. That's the way I think. So, you know, I remember sort of brief introductions to Taoism for, I think it was eating, right? Do you remember that phase? When it was very big to be able to at least medically correct yourself through eating hot and cold foods, right?
Right.
It's a specific diet. It was quite interesting listening to that. And then we were discussing, and then I was thinking about, so if one was able to, I mean, transmuting properties from positive to negative seemed to be our goals. As humans, we just seem to like the process of transformation, as opposed to maybe attainment. That would be my observation, not?
Absolutely. It's one of the things we wanted to talk about in that interview was, you know, what the proper goal of the practice should be. You know, maybe not so much doing the spiritual acrobatics, which are a common side effect of this practice, but the true goal is self-knowledge. You know, mm-hmm. self-knowledge, you know, and you mentioned the polarities, the poles, you know. One of the more beautiful concepts to me that I think also is shared in the West is that all the poles incorporate their opposites. You know, black includes white, hot includes cold. You know, if you ever stick your hand underneath a scalding tap, for the first few seconds it feels ice cold, you know. That's just a testament of that combining, merging of opposites, you know, which is really fascinating to me.
Yeah, which brought me to a different thought, because then we were discussing, you know, which metals were which poles, which ones were magnetic, which ones held charges. We're having a little interesting discussion in the chat room there. And then I thought, well, aren't there any neutral metals? Like everything in our society, in our society right now is so very female, male oriented. Everything is. And yet there is a very important third principle, and that was actually something to be done of a study, I'm sure, because in Asian culture, what they often, and this is a completely different branch of Asian culture, but where they combined and actually honored and respected the eunuch or the hermaphrodite, very, very strongly featured as a theater, as the conductor, I would say, of these two male-female properties.
Sure.
And highly revered all the way up until, I guess, the beginning of this century.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's the natural world also has the same thing, the same counterpart with the, you know, you wondered if there's such a thing as a neutral metal. Well, you know, that we have the metal carbonyls. You know, carbonyls, the C-A-R-B-O-N-Y-L, that's how that's spelled, the carbonyl. And it's sort of like a combination of metals, and it is what they call a neutral complex, where positive and negative charges sort of nullify each other. So and the natural definitely has neutral metals in it. Now, before I get to my colleague Steve's opinions on this matter, I would like to give the call-in number for the second hour of the show, which we're in right now. That number is 724-444-4851. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. So that number again is 724-444-4851. Now, we want you to be aware that each call is going to automatically be placed on hold, and we're going to answer it in the order it comes in. So just relax, listen to the show while you wait. When you get onto the air, we need you to be as clear and concise and direct with your question as humanly possible. possible. So try to really make that question specific, home in on the problem, and really try to restrict it. We ask that you restrict it to one question per person so that we can take all the calls in the line while who are waiting for a reading. So again, that number is 724-444-4851. Now, Steve, finally we come to you, and I'm chomping at the bit here to hear your comments about tonight's guest and show.
Well, I think Phil's great, and I love everything he's got to say about Taoism. And the thing that I really like about Phil is he comes from a truly spiritual place. He's a very smart, very knowledgeable, very spiritual man. And you know, when you speak to him about his work, he never takes credit for it. He always refers to his teachers and what was shared with him that he's able to share with other people. So he's very humble. He's a truly very spiritual guy. And that's something that I respect very much.
As do I, especially, you know, in this sort of stuff that we deal in, these lofty concepts, this esotericism, it's really, you get around into a lot of people who are arrogant. They, you know, it's really easy to think that you're bigger than perhaps you really are because you're trafficking in such recondite material. But Phil is brilliant and humble, which really makes him pleasant to be around. And he's artistic, too. The guy's got like an MFA or a Bachelor in Fine Arts. As well, well-rounded fellow.
Yeah, and he also travels all over the world to teach theta healing and the Kunlun system, and then he teaches another workshop called Awakening the Illuminated Heart, which was conveyed to him by Drunvalo Melchizedek. I mean, Drunvalo is an incredible man, extremely well known. I recommend his books, The Secret Flower. Are the secret, ancient secrets of the Flower of Life. There are two volumes, absolutely amazing reads. And interestingly, Drunvalo Melchizedek communicated directly with Toth. I think he lived in Canada, actually, at some time. He lived in the middle of nowhere in Canada with his wife, and he used to spend a lot of time meditating, and he was given a huge amount of information by Toth. So there's that Toth connection as well with our show last week, just really special, really synchronistic. And you know, for anybody listening, whether they're listening now or they're listening to the archive in future, if they want to study theta, or qualify in theta, whether it's basic or advanced, or do the Awakening the Illuminated Heart workshop, Drunvalo's work, or Kunlun, then Phil travels all over the world and teaches. So if people have a local healing center or holistic center, metaphysical center, they can request that Phil comes and teaches. So he's just brilliant. He really is.
He came to teach at the Rama Center, didn't he? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, he did. We did a two-day workshop. It wasn't last year. It was the year before, if my memory serves me correctly. Last year, it seems to have flown by. It just seems like yesterday I was saying, oh, my goodness, in 6 months it'll be Christmas. And here we are. It's February or nearly March, which is great because it'll be spring. But it was a wonderful experience. Really, really wonderful. Listening to Phil, he's full of knowledge. He's very well read as well. You'd get on brilliantly with him because he's so well read.
Oh yeah, we talked for a long time before the show. You know, the days leading up to the show, and you're right, man. He's a fountain of knowledge about that, about Drunvalo Melchizedek. We could have done a show just on that, on him alone, really.
Actually, you should. I'm not sure. Well, you should hit Phil up actually for Drunvalo.
Maybe we can get him the next time he comes on at a later date. We can talk about the work of Drunvalo Melchizedek.
No, ask him for Drunvalo.
First of all, I'd need to read the books. This is a name that I keep running into in my studies.
Book Drunvalo and then read the book.
I believe I want to say he's the one who came up with the idea, this notion of the Merkaba, which was mentioned tonight, in another guise, which is obviously something that would benefit anybody to develop the Merkaba.
Yeah, absolutely. But get us go get us Drunvalo as well.
Oh, I definitely will. Definitely will. So we're still waiting on the calls to come in. Again, that number is 724-444-4851. We would go ahead and accept those calls. We're ready and willing and able to accept the incoming calls of one question only, please. Now, as far as the Kunlun system itself, you know, automatically got my attention as soon as he mentioned alchemy, because so many of the people that we reach out to and reach out to us at Psychic Access are desperate for change in their lives. You know, they need change and they need it now. And I'm constantly thinking about my clients. And, you know, what will usher in change for them in the best, most effective way possible? And, you know, I'm just convinced that some form of alchemy will hold the key to that, you know.
I believe that in our field of work, there has to be a huge commitment to education and self-mastery. Because the more we learn ourselves spiritually, the more we learn about metaphysics and healing and alchemy, specifically, as you said, then the more we can share with our clients. And I believe that that's the way. And I know that you take that approach. Book Hydrant.
Absolutely. You know, I'm really dedicated to the idea that when you reach out to a psychic advisor, you know, we really have to give you something practical to take away from it. And, you know, a lot of alchemical principles really, whether be they Eastern, Western alchemical principles, really help you do that. Now, Maureen, we actually have a caller for you from Massachusetts.
Well, I deny that call. Okay. No, I'm happy to talk to the Massachusetts. Absolutely. Hello, Massachusetts.
Hi. My name is Richa, and I have a question today regarding my job and business.
Okay. May I get your name? I didn't catch your name. Your name?
Richa.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So you have a question about your career.
Job and the side business. In my job, my current project ended, and I'm wanting to get promoted and looking for new opportunities it's a consulting company, so we go from project to project, and I have been on bench for a week now, and if there is any advice or help you can give me to select the right project for me, basically, I want to go to the next level, which means that I'll have to select the project very carefully now.
Exactly. I understand. I follow you. Okay. And I love this kind of quest readings, insightful. You know, this is what I'm getting. What I am seeing is that there's a very interesting, good opportunity that looks like it's extremely just and fair for you, and I don't, you know, sometimes I have a hard time articulating exactly what that means, but this just seems like it's just a real just and fair, meaning it would be very well for you to connect with something, and I do see a man energy surrounding this, a man who's, you know, maybe in his 50s or something like that, who actually is a really trustworthy person. It's not, you know, we can get involved with some business people that sometimes aren't so much. I see another man. There, you know, there's male energy around this opportunity in this project, one particular one, that I feel that they're really great. They're very good. They have integrity. These both, they're different a little bit, but they're about the same age. But there is energy of that. I do feel that this has been a stagnating project, but now so I feel that you would know of it, but now it's back and it's able, the opportunity is there for the taking now. And your sleep's going to get much better. Do you have opportunities for several? I mean, or do you, in your mind, are there several different ones that you know of that you would, at this time, that you have options or choices?
Yeah, like the company wants me to be billable all the time. However, the one that can take me to a higher level definitely demands more business development type work where I can get more revenue. I may not be fully chargeable, but I have to get lucky to get new clients in the door. Right now, like, you know, we are pushing this man that you're talking about, a man with 50 plus age. He's most likely my boss that you're talking about. Uh-huh. And he is new to the company as well, but he has interest in growing this region because if this business development picks up, then he looks really good also.
Exactly. You know, I just get some very good positive energy around that man. And you're right about, you know, it's a direct reflection on him. But this is, it's like, I do see this being your time as far as, it's such a fair feeling, and justice is finally it's in your favor. And I just feel that if he has, you know, his objective is pretty similar to yours, because I feel definitely, and it looks like within the next, I see something really coming about. It's like within 2 weeks and then within a 2 month period. And I feel it's exactly where you should be. And I do feel that definitely, this is something also that you will be acknowledged, and you will be getting the credit that's deserved by you being taking on this project. It won't be that somebody, you know, else. And I also feel that it's something that will be really healthy for you, because you feel more challenged and it'll feel you're not overqualified. It's a really good time I see coming up for you with this. And it does look like soon, like within 2 weeks, more talking about, but then within 2 months, it's already in the much more in the working it through, working it in, you know, doing the work in it. And definitely this has been something that's been stagnating with you. And you're in a, like I said, I just feel this is a really good time for you. And it's coming, I mean, you created it. It's fantastic. It does look like there was a delay with this, but this opportunity, this one particular one, you'll know which one it is. But again, the support of the male and the two men is fantastic. It's really fantastic.
And what about my Amway business? It's a multi-level marketing business that I started last year, March. This is on the side to my job. I have been trying really hard to reach a platinum level in this business. And people sign in, but they sign out or they don't do anything, even though I'm being nice to them and helping them along the way. I just want to know whether I should even do this business, or, you know, will I ever reach the platinum level?
I feel, you know, with this, there's something about family. I don't know if you've ever brought in family into the issue, but that would be not so good. I am seeing it looks like the springtime. It looks like you started trying to start it back up. Something happened, but I feel this time around, your boundaries. If you move forward with this, I see a female energy and you doing very well together. But your boundaries need to be really in place with what you just talked about. You can't do that anymore. You know, like being too nice and all that. I honestly feel that the family, I don't know about this, your family has issues about it. I don't know why, but I feel that you'll be able to pick this back up. But I feel that the first thing about this project, and I do see you and a woman with the second part of your own business. I do see a woman energy really close, that it would be fantastic. I do see, and you're holding on to your creativity more so, which I feel is really a good idea, instead of giving it out there to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you know, almost like you need to be more, I guess, not a bad, you know, not an ethical businesswoman, but not allow anybody to cross the line with what you're doing. But I actually see that it kind of flows into it. You have a really great opportunity. I see them both there, in both, actually. But I see that you're almost like waiting into the summertime, coming into your own person, the other business, your business.
That's okay, good. So summertime I should be platinum is what you're saying, most likely.
Yeah, exactly. You have a lot to look forward to. So you've done good. It's your reading. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for the guidance today. I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that, Maureen. Steve, we have a caller for you from Rhode Island. Rhode Island.
Thank you. Who's calling from Rhode Island?
Hi, this is Amy. Hi, Amy. Just calling because I have some questions. My husband died about a year and a half ago, and I feel like maybe his spirit has tried to contact me within the past few weeks, and I don't know whether it's him or if it's something else that's kind of a bad energy in my house. So could you just kind of give me some guidance?
Yeah, I don't, Tammy, firstly, I don't feel that there's a bad energy in your house. I don't feel that you are somebody that particularly draws in negative energies or entities. And I do feel for sure that your husband is around you, not just recently, but for quite some time. And as I mention him and speak with you, I'm very drawn to the month of February for some reason, but I feel drawn to February in the past. It's not the fact that we're in February now. Is February significant between the two of you, or for him, or for him particularly?
Not that I can think of,
because I'm very drawn to February, and I just feel it's a significant time, but I don't feel that it's something that is celebrated. You know, I'm not saying it's a special occasion that you would look back at fondly. It's more a turning point, a signpost in his path prior to passing. That's one of the things that I sense. But I'm very drawn to time as well. You know, tell me his first name.
Justin.
Dustin, okay. I'm very drawn to time. And specifically, in my mind's eye, I see a wristwatch, and I see a finger tapping the wristwatch. And I just feel that you've been sort of lost in time. And there is a specific time that you sense him around you. It's not just any time or random.
It's at night.
Yeah, but
he
sleeps
next to me at night.
But it's, you sense him particularly. It feels like between 2:30 and 3:30. I'm drawn to that hour, 2:30 to 3:30 in the morning. When I feel
what actually happened was it was at like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. I woke up in the morning and I was wide awake in the morning, and someone whispered my name and I heard him snoring next to me on the pillow. And I know that sounds crazy.
It's
hard to believe, and I didn't even want to tell you when I first got on the air because it just sounds like unbelievable. But that's really what happened. And
it doesn't sound unbelievable.
I was really
scared. It's wonderful.
I didn't know if it was him or something
else. Brilliant. And I'm sure that everybody that has somebody in spirit would like to say that they've had such a clear visitation. But it's not unbelievable for us as metaphysicians that this does happen. Of course he's with you. But my guides mentioned June as well, actually, for you. But my guides are saying, remember, there's something to do with a wristwatch that won't necessarily make sense right now, but it will in a few weeks. There's a wristwatch in your home that I believe it either belonged to him or it was passed to him by someone in the family.
Okay.
And I'm really sure that it is in your home and that you'll discover it and that it will make sense. But I do, as I know it sounds silly, but as you speak of him, I feel like I'm to your left. I feel like I'm on your left-hand side.
Uh-huh.
I feel like if I were lying next to you, I would be to the left.
Yeah, that's where he was. He sleeps to the left of me, but I've just had some really crazy nightmares since then, so it just is...
Well, you just understand that there are many things occurring when you sleep. So when you go to sleep at night, you're unwinding, and usually we can have odd dreams at that time because we're processing what's occurred in the day and we're sort of filing it in the context of everything we've experienced. So that type of dreaming is more you just doing your filing in effect. But I'm very drawn to around 2:30, 3:30 when you sense him. He's there all the time, but that's when you'll sense him more. But trust the dreams that occur very late in your sleep cycle. So really, we have a very deep and close connection to spirit later in the sleep cycle. So it is when you... Oh, actually, my guides are saying to you, when you wake up or are waking up in the morning, even if you get out of bed for a moment to put some hot water on to make a cup of tea or whatever you want in the morning, get back into bed when you've still got that sort of sleepy feeling, or when you start to wake up and you've got that sort of sleepy feeling of, oh, you know, I want another few minutes, close your eyes and meditate. And you will communicate very clearly with him at that time. That's what I'm being told. And one of those experiences you'll have will be at 6:55 a.m. And the other thing that my guides are giving me from him is the name Pete.
Yeah, that's one of his friends. He has a friend named Peter.
Yeah, because my guides are saying, Peter, tell her that he mentions Peter, because you would know, you know of Peter, you know, this is not some random name. So he's just giving you confirmation that he's around you. And he mentions Peter, and Peter's very cut up about the situation, but he wants Peter to know as well that he's doing just fine. And he's wonderful with children. He's really, really great with kids. Did you know that?
Yeah, he is.
He's brilliant with kids. And one of the things that he wants to do now is to work with children. And he's brilliant with problematic children, actually, that are quite traumatized. They just trust him. They just connect with him. And he's going to be doing a lot of work with children that are suddenly transitioned to spirit and that are bewildered. He will work with them. And he's quite a... he's got just lots of energy. He likes to move around a lot as well. So he's got a real sort of sporting feel to him. And, you know, he's fine. And you're going to be fine. And Peter's a good guy as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much, caller from Rhode Island. You can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Steve is a psychic medium and hermetic metaphysician. Thank you very much, Steve. Carmen, we have a call for you from New York.
Ah, hello.
Hi.
New York. How are you enjoying the snow? Are you in New York City?
Well, it is horrible.
Really? Was it as bad as 2 years ago?
Well, I've been indoors all day, and I took a quick walk, and I just came back in.
Okay, gotcha.
I was like, what? I'm done, but yeah, all of 5 minutes.
Oh, dear.
It's the same every year.
Oh, and I can't wait till it melts. What's your name?
My name's Portia.
Oh, okay, I haven't met you yet. Hello, what can I do for you?
Just the love life. I think I finally met someone really special, and then we're going through an odd phase where he says he has something to tell me, but he's not telling me, and I don't know if it's a breakup or I don't know. My love life is just a mess, and I was just wondering what's going on.
That's perfect. Can you give me the man's name or initial, please?
It starts with a D.
Okay, one moment. Well, actually, he's very concerned, too, that this is a miscommunication, an error. And so clearly he cares. Looking at what important thing he needs to tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe a change in job. So. Do you know if he's looking for work or if he's changing his work or is he looking at residence?
I know he's looking to start his own company, but he hasn't really talked about it.
What I think from this, from what I see here, is that there is something that he's trying to do that is financially oriented. And then it says here he's uncertain about family. So I don't know if he's going to have this weird kind of family talk with you about the future. I'd say steer him the hell off of that talk. I don't know where these guys think we get off on thinking we need that little talk.
I know, right?
You know what I mean?
And it's still pretty brand new, so I don't know why he would feel that way.
Yeah. No. I think for any guys that are listening, you know, we got you. We were way ahead. We don't need that talk. usually we're already in that zone, but he's feeling protective. Yeah. And he's saying, well, I think we need to think about the future. There may not be one. And I'm telling you, this is the usual. He's trying to take this in an organizational capacity and he's trying to logically sort of work his way out of that one. And he probably still wants to keep you. It's a control issue right now. And it seems to me like he might be trying to get your attention. So I'm not clear either if he knows what he's doing. I'm going to ask if it's going to end, but that's like, I don't get that feeling here. I get that in a way, what all guys do is they run from the talk. I mean, I would just get the hell out of there.
I've never even brought up the talk. I'm not there yet.
I know what you mean. It's kind of a cute but annoying habit that they have in thinking that we need the talk to reorientate our goofy selves because apparently we're still expecting marriage. But most of us aren't. So it's just a matter of he's trying to make you feel better in a way about the fact that he can't make you feel better. And that's such a convoluted theory. I mean, make yourself scarce. He's not breaking it up with you, but he's overthinking it. It's like, yeah. So a little break is in order from your side. You know, take charge, take control. Like I would say, that's a portion of what we do with our clients. And it's like, it's not that you don't think like they do. It's just that you're more nurturing. And that's why we hang in there. So it's not over. But it could be if you take it personally and, you know, you fall into that trap. You know what I mean? So here I'm thinking that... let me have a look at his feelings for you, okay? See anything specific. Sulky guy, prone to conflict. Sometimes he can get into these really intensive moods. And I don't think he knows what he's doing right now. I think the main thing is he says, doesn't he actually even know what he wants to say? He just wants to put a control over you. So...
We were supposed to have this big talk 30 minutes ago, and he still hasn't called me. So,
so what did he talk to you about?
I have no idea. He just said we really need to talk.
God.
Yeah, he's been acting a little distant for the past 4 days, and so he said he needs to tell me why he's doing that. I was like, okay.
Okay, well, let him. I think they'd just be very, very valuable. You know, the criticism I get from my clients is it's like, you know, they assume we need to be babied as if we were children. And maybe he's falling into that way of thinking that you can't handle a breakup. I mean, maybe you're okay with that. But the point is he's making it into a deal. I don't think he necessarily wants a breakup. I think he's anticipating a breakup in a year. This is the biggest problem. And then he's saying, I'm not sure if I can make it 2 years, so maybe we should end it now. And it's like, buddy, I don't mind having a fling, you know, or at least just let it grow organically.
You know? So we'll see what happens.
You know.
So feelings-wise, you're not really picking up anything strong
sorry, one more, because I'm just going to get into his reading room in a couple minutes. But depression, restriction, sadness, anxiety, panic. That's right now because the talk is coming. And then I have to get beneath that and then, you know, intuit his real feelings. I just think he's gentler and he's too sensitive. And now he's trying to mask that with a massive amount of control. And at this stage, I think that means that he's not sure how he feels. And in truth, that would be like, that can change. It's like, I really think he did like you before. And I think he still thinks about you a lot. And he is overanalyzing this so he could psych himself out of it.
Gotcha.
And so that's where he's a very rational thinker right now. Feeling-wise, I just think he's had a massive amount of disappointment and he doesn't really want to let anybody else down and he's just trying to head it off before he feels he could let you down. So, you know, be gentle because I think in a way he doesn't mean it and he's going to try and deliver this and be all like manly. It's like, no, buddy, it's okay, you know. Maybe just let it drift. But it might be fairer that you should just make an excuse and duck out and say, you know what, I'm going to be busy for the next day or two. Do a manly thing on him. Like, seriously, yeah. Is he thinking about, like, letting it onto you now before Valentine's Day? Like, you know, we're not even into Valentine's Day anymore, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As if, you know, at some point we want to all say this. But we have another caller coming in, and I really encourage you to call us, and thank you. I think that's what he's doing. He's having, you know, he thinks you need to be pampered before the night, and he may call it off. And I'm like, wait, he doesn't mean it. Okay?
Okay.
So thank you. And do call.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck, okay? Take care.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much for that reading, Carmen. I, as a man, learned a lot from that one. All of us men learned a lot from that one. Thank you very much. And you can find Carmen Miro at psychicaccess.com if you'd like a reading from her. Now, I have a caller from Texas. Hello, who am I speaking with in Texas? Hello, Texas.
Hello.
Hi, what is your name, madam?
Hi, Radiance.
Radiance, that is a lovely name. How may I help you tonight, Radiance? Thank you for calling.
Yes, I would like to speak with someone regarding my relationship.
Yes, ma'am. Do you have something specific that you'd like to know about your relationship?
Yes, future plans. My husband and I have been going through some things for the last couple of months, and I just want to see where the actual marriage is going.
Okay. Let's just sort of poke ahead into the next 6 months and then go from there, okay? One second while I pick up on the next 6 months here. Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you this. As far as the romance of your marriage is concerned, that's not really going to start changing until 2 months from now. Actually, changes in your marriage are happening as we speak, but they're not perceptible to you right now. It's sort of like the seismic activity underneath the earth that will result in an earthquake later, only it's not going to be anywhere near so negative as that. I'm interpreting this, in fact, as a positive change over the next few months. Now, we're doing 6 months here, okay? The 6 months time frame is going to have some ups and downs in it. I want to warn you about that right off the bat, Radiance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the third month from now, though, I see that your marriage will almost be sort of starting over, clean slate type of a situation, okay? But I also see that this is going to be laying the groundwork for future problems beyond that. Are you following me, Radiance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, so we got 6 months here that I'm looking at. I've talked about the first three, going from now, February, March, April, April to May, going up until about the middle of May, roughly. Okay. the main theme for those 3 months are going to be change. I can promise you that. And the end of that, you're going to probably be thinking, hey, things are going pretty good here. The change is going to be looking pretty nice. Your communication with your husband is going to have a different flavor to it. Maybe you're going to be feeling, hey, around springtime, late springtime, early summer, maybe you're going to be feeling, hey, I'm finally getting through to him, finally sinking these words into that cranium of his, and he's understanding me. Now let's look at the second 3 months and going through the summer and into the early autumn and see how the situation is going to play out from there. And you know what? I'm inclined to think that even though you will begin to pick up some changes, some improvements in the affection, the emotions, the domestic arena of your marriage, I'm inclined to say there could be some interference, and primarily due to two cards, the Lover's card and the Six of Cups. The Six of Cups is a sort of card that pops up whenever there's a physical, you know, physical intimacy without too much emotional attachment underneath of it. Now, this might just be sort of a portrait of what your life with your husband will be like over the summer, just a sort of, you know, physical playfulness without too much affection, or it could also symbolize some sort of interference. The Lover's card in particular hints at a choice that has to be made, and the Six of Cups is going to come after that. You see, the Six of Cups represents sexuality without responsibility to it, almost a childish type of thing. And then the Ten of Cups beyond that is a big red flag for me that the emotions are going to change, the domestic situation is going to change in a huge way. Now, Radiance, I realize that this probably is not exactly what you wanted to hear, but at least now you're forewarned and forearmed to, you'll know what to expect going in, especially around the 3 month mark. I want you to be extra careful. Okay. Now, do you have any questions or anything that I said that confused you?
Well, not really confused me. My concern is because he left 2 months ago, and then my question was if he was going to return, and what, you know, do I need to?
Yes, ma'am. The Ace of Cups, that third month, is definitely, again, that's going to be the big change that we're talking about now. The main theme here is change, and there are going to be two important changes. The first change is cooking right now. It's on the oven right now, and it's going to culminate right around the springtime. Okay, late spring is probably, you're going to think that there's going to be a second chance here. But what I'm thinking is that you're going to uncover maybe evidence of his behavior during the breakup, perhaps, or at any rate, I do believe that the concept of fidelity is going to become really important as we get into the summertime, and such that by the time we get into early autumn, you know, that Ten of Cups promises me that there's going to be, again, yet another change. So it's going to be a roller coaster ride for you, Radiance, the next 6 months, I'm afraid. You're on the upward portion of the roller coaster. Things are going to be improving right up to through the warm weather. But again, as the weather starts to get hot, things are going to start to sour again. And some of the underlying weaknesses of this relationship that caused the breakup to happen in the first place, they're going to cause the same thing to happen again in a cycle. And this is the sort of thing you're facing with this relationship, Radiance. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I really do wish you the best on that one. Okay. Really, that's what we got going on for the next 6 months for you there. It's going to be a bit of a challenge for you to deal with, but I know that you can. I've got faith in you. Okay.
Okay. And this change is starting. You say the change is already starting now.
Oh yes, ma'am. And it's going to continue throughout the next month. What I expect in the next set of 30 days. Now we're at the 13th. We're about Valentine's Day now. Now you got to remember also Valentine's Day is working on him too. There's going to be some nostalgia going on. So the next 4 weeks, he's going to again be cooking, simmering. He's going to start seeing things that you guys used to do together. You're going to see TV that you guys used to watch together, shows, music, etc. Okay. So the next 4 weeks, there's going to be a reversal such by the time we get into March, he's going to pick up the phone and call you, but not just to complain. He's going to say, I miss you, baby. I'm sorry. Or, you know, I'm having second thoughts here. But very important to understand my prediction. The way it's looking is that this is going to be a false sort of recovery, that even though he says these things, perhaps he won't really, he thinks he means them at the time, but again, over the summer, I expect the situation to erode further, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Radiance. Well, God bless you and the best of luck to you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a call for Maureen.
New York. And yes. New York. Thank you. I knew your connection was coming. Hello, New York. And Steve. Ben. Hi, New York. Hello.
Hi, Maureen. This is Anne.
Hi, who? I'm sorry, who's this?
This is Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I just want to know, like, I'm feeling so miserable and depressed. And I just want to know, like, and I don't know how to figure out anymore which area of my life is making me so unhappy. Like, is it my job or, like, the place, the location, being here in New York, or is it a matter of finding somebody? So I want to know what I can change in my life to make things better.
Okay, the way I read it, I could go on for a long time with this, not in a bad way, in all good. Can you kind of, because our time restraint is pretty not much on the readings on air. Is there one thing that you could directly ask me? Like, if there's, how about this? How about if I focus on maybe the one particular thing that perhaps, the way I look at it, some things we think we don't need are the things we need the most, after all. And if I just kind of focus on that, maybe that might be something that you've been missing. Because you're saying there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm sorry to hear that. I really feel for you, and I have compassion. I know it's a hard place to be in. So I'll just focus on whatever I get in the most important thing I'm picking up on, and I hope that will help you out. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, great. And also, I just want to say, it's always, things are, anybody else listening, and I know how it is to get really down, and out, really in a not a good place. But remember, everything's always temporary. It really is. What I'm seeing here is this. This is about cleaning out people, cleaning the... You know, we're colored by our environment, and that means the people that we surround ourselves with. What I'm seeing here, I could be wrong, but it looks like there's some family issues that have gone on that aren't real positive feeling. It feels like you've kind of lost interest in socializing or having fun with girlfriends, too. It's like it's just not – it just doesn't – there's some interesting changes going on with you. And at the same time, you're feeling – I see you're feeling that you're trapped or you're self-imprisonment and it's of your own doing. And really what I'm seeing here is, even though this may sound, I love using this word, a paradox, you're in a transition right now. I feel that's going to be it doesn't feel comfortable, but I feel that there's stuff that you're focusing on. I don't know if you heard the interview tonight, but it's kind of like that. If you're willing to get really... Sometimes we go really down, but it's almost like because you're going to be coming up and things are going to be much different. I do see that you have been trying. I see a little bit of the depression, but you don't see which way you're going. You can't visually see, but all you need to do is untie the blindfold and open your eyes. I'm not saying literally, and I don't feel you're consciously not, but I do see a man who looks like a father figure. You know, I don't know nowadays. A father figure is my age. But he looks like he's in his 50s, middle to late 50s, who's a very good emotional advisor. He would be someone that you'd go to that would give you some really good advice. He's very sensitive, and he could be a businessman as well or a counselor. But he's really honest, and he's lovely. He has lovely energy, and he helps advise you. I see you in the next 4 weeks really starting to feel much better, like really coming back up after feeling so down or physically drained. And I feel that you're not going to allow any – I see that there's been betrayal in your life. Pardon me?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to move away from those things. You know, it's not about having this. You talk about certain men. I do see another man. It's like coming around, but this person isn't working. You deserve. You know, we pick the people. No. Sometimes we deserve. We only feel that we deserve a certain type of love they give us. Things are changing with you, and it's a good time, even though it's uncomfortable. It's going to be okay. You're going through some difficulty that might feel so awful, but I feel that you're going to be doing just fine, and. I really do feel good about that. I know it's been hard, but sometimes the harder our pains and struggles are better our rewards. And you're on a good track. I see you taking back your personal power. It's not just going to overnight happen, but it's fantastic. Be kind and gentle and respect yourself right now is very important.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, and I wish you well. And really, you'll thrive. You're gonna do fine. Really, okay. Thank you for calling, and you can come see us at psychicaccess.com if you haven't done also already a 6-minute free reading for all new people. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Maureen. And we have a call from New York for Steve.
Hello?
We are getting Steve here.
Unmute.
I'm sorry. I was chatting about...
I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that.
Who's calling? What's your name?
Mary. Is somebody else trying to talk to you?
No, Mary. My name's Steve. I'm taking your reading, but I was chatting away with you on mute. I had my microphone on mute, so Stephen stepped in to help out. So, Mary, how can we help you?
Okay. So weird things have been happening. You know, it's I don't think anything about it. My cat barked like a dog yesterday. So weird things are happening. My question is, I feel like there is a spirit near me and wants to get a message through. Can you pick up anything about that?
Let me see. Well, actually, there are a number of... You tend to attract spirits, Mary. This is not something new. Okay? So you're aware right now, but there have been other times in life when you felt very... closely associated with spirit, and not always in a way that's easy. Sometimes our connections can be more challenging, more troublesome, but this is not new to you. Now, you've got a number of people that are around you. I've got an older lady and an older gentleman, and I do feel that they're grandparents, because I feel that they come together, and they're really quite different people. I mean, good relationship, but very different people. Really quite the stereotypical kind of grandparents, with the grandmother being very loving, very warm-hearted, and the grandfather being that way also, but really being the one that... that not rules the roost, but that brings home the living. But I feel them around you. But I'm drawn with both of them right back into the 1960s. I feel drawn to the mid-60s, actually, around 1967, you know, with the two of them. And I feel that's a significant point in time. Does that make sense to you?
Okay. 1967, okay. My father's side, his father was an acrobat in the circus, would you believe? And
wow.
So my grandmother was in the circus also. And,
wow, how interesting.
You know, I have to laugh about that. You know, it sounds funny. But they were very intelligent people as well. My grandmother could speak like 3 or 4 languages.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather would design shoes. In fact, his brother had a shoe company called Bamboo Shoes.
Okay.
And
but do you recall why? You don't have to recall why. I feel that you will. But 1967 was a really important year for them. It was a very significant year for them. And although they worked hard and they're very interesting people, life wasn't always easy for them. They didn't always have it easy. They really had their struggles at times materially. But they always focused on the bright side of life, and very interesting, very, very colourful, genuine characters. But I do feel that they're around you. If you look at your records, you'll find that the month of May is important in terms of one of them being born or passing.
My father passed in May. My father passed May 20th.
Okay. Okay. Well, you see, you've got a lot of people around you in spirit, and I don't feel that you have anything to worry about in terms of your connection to other beings in spirit. But I feel quite simply the message for you is it is time to allow this. It is time to use this ability. And I really feel like you should find a great spiritualist church or metaphysical church, a really good one, and get involved, because there's definitely something for you to explore here. You've got a strong connection with spirit. It's as though you're getting these calling signs because they're knocking at your door, basically.
Yeah. I have dreams that are very vivid. And last week I dreamt of a doctor, and we kind of like melded together, and it was such a beautiful feeling. And I remember the way he looked vividly, and I said, "But who is this?" You know, I don't.
Well, he's a guide, but they're definitely calling on you. And if you think back, if you reflect after our call or after the radio show, you had very, very vivid experiences with spirit when you were about 7 years old as well. Seven, eight, you had a lot of visitations and strong connections going on then. So it's time for you to do that work. There is a little dog actually with your father. There is a dog in spirit with your dad.
Oh, really? Is it a white
smaller
dog
one
with brown spots?
I can't see the colour in all honesty, but I know it's a smaller dog. I can feel it's a smaller framed dog. It's not a big dog like a Labrador or something like that. It's smaller that he's got with him. And there's just a very strong connection, strong bond with him and the dog. But you're doing well, and I don't feel you need to worry. I feel you just need to explore your talent, because you've got a good connection to spirit, okay?
I will do that, Steve. I really will.
Okay. Well, wish you lots of luck. You know, this is your father. Your father called you sweetheart, because he's saying, "Oh, my girl as well." I'm hearing sweetheart. They think the world of you.
He would say it in a funny way, like my sweetheart. You know, like an actor. You know.
Mm-hmm. You hear it. It's a strong memory for you, that particular word. So they're around you. You're well protected, but explore your gifts. They'll give you a lot of joy, and you can really help a lot of people.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Oh, enjoy April. They say enjoy April. Make sure you celebrate in April. I don't know what they mean, but just remember, enjoy April. It'll be fun. Okay?
Something in April? I will.
Good. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much. Again, you can find Steve at psychicaccess.com, psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. Carmen, whom you can also find at psychicaccess.com, you have a caller from Pennsylvania.
Hi there, Pennsylvania.
Hello, hi there, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
Unscathed, I believe, right? Hopefully. No, actually not. Are you getting thunder snow or something weird like that?
Oh,
anyway.
Oh, yes. No.
I love my weather. No. So I'm here for you. What's your name?
Penny.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how are you this week? Penny. Hopefully I can give you some updates. What can I do for you today? How's your work?
It's terrible out there. Not to sound corny, with Valentine's around the corner. Is there any surprises in the future for my love life?
Well, I mean, one of the things it's saying here is actually you've given up on your efforts on this side. So there's a possibility here that it's just not worth it to you right now. And you have to recognize that. It does say you've withdrawn from the chase. So that might just be like a natural breather, a moment for you. And I would feel what you see or what you're going to have as probably a lack of decision for a little while as to how you're going to approach this problem. I think it's really hard for women to be single because we can't really aggressively always go after it and feel comfortable still. And I feel like even though that's sort of okay with you, you're looking for more, you know what you want, and you know, I have to tell you that it's our culture right now is very frenetic, and probably due to the stresses that we're under, certain relationships just may not make it right now. So I'm going to have a look at, like, just to meet people right now. I imagine that, you know, there's a lot of people that are looking for work. Let me have a look here. What else comes up? That affects the men that you meet. Is there work? Yes. Surprise in the future. Probably not a sudden surprise. You do meet somebody. That's really great. It's King of Wands energy. And he is somewhat... he's definitely a take charge kind of guy because he'll be a fire sign. He will also be certainly maybe quite bossy or pushy. Now, it's not to say he's bad, but it's like I get this vibe from him and he's definitely here. He's not in your life, but he'll emerge at a later date. And then today, you know, just looking at this sort of slice of time that we're looking at right now, you are probably going to meet actually two more. After that, so you're going to have three men that come up this year. The first one I like. The second one, he's maybe okay for you because he's in an industry that may make sense to you. It might be actually quite a good industry. It's either telecommunications or marketing or advertising or medicine or law. But it's then there's another male here that comes in. Actually, this is the same man. He's coming in and he has a younger son, possibly, which is why I'm sort of getting the identifier of another person with him. So this is a father that you're getting. And then there's a third man. You're actually – surprises? No, I don't know if you're enthusiastic about these men, but that's because they're creepers. They kind of come on very slowly. They crawl into your life. They won't give you much of a heads up. You won't even know if you really like each other, but then you might actually get involved. I don't know if that makes you happy, but it's like, okay. It's sort of a normal thing in some relationships. So in other words, it's like you may not actually be ready for somebody in a way, and you may reject a few of the offer, just looking for the man you want. And then you have these energies that come in and look for you and just won't be obvious about it. And that's your year. And I'm not sure if that is like a bad thing. It does say here, yes, some romance, but you know, you've got to be, I think, you know, I was talking earlier on about men and dating and, you know, they're pretty successful that way because they can segment their year into, you know, two or three opportunities and move on to some extent. And I think you have to take that into consideration. But like, if you're not into that, then this isn't the year for you, you know?
So but, nothing. So how long before the first one?
Oh yeah, you know what? I've only got a minute because we're way at the end of our show. But
yeah,
about 8 weeks, maybe. Maybe hopefully, you know, I'm not known for my timing. People always ask me for timing, and I just don't know because it usually changes in its from minutes to seconds to days. It just doesn't really work for me. But
okay, yep.
I think you will actually meet some people, and it's just a matter of are you going to be in the mood, you know? You got to think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the King of Wands is a nice energy. I would look out for him, but don't worry too much. This could be, you know, three very important men that come into your life at a later date, but let's see how the time evolves on that. I know what you mean, and... I just think it's okay for you to stay still right now, believe it or not.
Okay, you know? Yep.
Okay?
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks again, hey? Have a nice weekend.
All right, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Carmen. We that actually brings us to the end of yet another enlightening show. I'd like to thank Doug, who is the stunt man who takes all the tumbles to make the rest of us look good, works really hard behind the scenes, deals with the music, the presentation, everything, created this space that we all gather in every Thursday. So big thanks to our executive producer, Doug. Thanks to my co-hosts, without whom I could not have done it tonight, and certainly thanks to Phil Lang for joining me tonight and enlightening and illuminating all of us. Next week, Maureen, you have something very, yes. very nice.
I'm very happy. For me, it is a very close to my heart. Mary Kay Greer, who's lovely. She's an author of 11 books. She'll be joining us. And Mary's a... she's a pioneer from, you know, 40 years back, and she had entirely new techniques for learning tarot. She was also awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award for tarot studies. So she's something else, and I feel that we're really going to enjoy this show with her. She doesn't do much show. She doesn't do any readings for anybody, but she's lovely, so she'll be joining us. So everybody come.
I'm excited. She's a big deal. She's a big deal.
Yeah, she's like the guest we were talking about. She's real spirit, like Steve said. Spiritual. She is her work, and she is humble. It's lovely. It's very lovely. It'll be good.
She's certainly influenced generations of tarot
readers. Many, yes. So there you have it. And thank you, Steve. And I say goodbye. Thanks, Stephen, for a great show, great interview. Thanks.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Carmen, Steve, would you like to say goodbye to everyone?
Good night.
Adios.
Ciao.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.